Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for joining. Pleasure to have everybody here. This is not meant to be a particularly long shiur, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to discuss some important matters related to davening individually, both from a shkafic perspective and from a halachic perspective. I imagine at some point, I guess it'll be also helpful for me to write some of this up and to distribute. But I thought it would be a good forum just to talk a little bit about, what it means for us to be davening individually on a weekday, on Shabbos, and especially as Pesach is coming. I'll note a few things that are Pesach related. I'm going to I have to minimize my screen, I guess, to see my notes. But I'll try to pay attention. You can unmute yourself, or if you're on the Zoom application on the computer. Or on your phone, if you're on the Zoom application, there's a raise hand button. So either way, feel free to mute yourself if you have any questions. So I want to dedicate the shiur tonight, Lezecher Nishmas Harav Yirmiyahu ben Yaakov Yosef. This is actually convenient as my my wife's Bubby just walked in, and it was just at this point, Bubby, that I was about to dedicate the Shir Lezecher Nishmas Harav Yirmiyahu ben Yaakov Yosef, who is Eliana's great-grandfather, Rabbi Jerome Fishman. Zichrono Levracha, his yard site is tonight and tomorrow, on his 27th yard site. He was a rabbi in Astoria and a past president of the Vat Harabanim of Queens, so it's very meaningful that I'm walking in his footsteps here in Queens, but also to be able to dedicate this to his memory. I'm trying to be a little bit careful in talking about things related to the virus and Yiddishkeit, to not sort of overstate the silver lining or the opportunity of the things that come out of it, because for some people this really is, unfortunately, the worst case scenario. So I want to be careful about that. And at the very same token, we should, to whatever extent we're able to, we should be able to use this time well. For those of us who are Baruch Hashem doing well, we should use this to the best of our ability, and to seize the opportunity, so to speak. I'll begin by noting that, of course, it's important to remember that Tehillah B'Tzibur is the most optimal way of davening. That being able to come together as a community is something that's very powerful, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is less likely to turn away the tefillah of the masses than of the individual, when we have all the merits of everybody in a community assembled together versus we as individuals, so we carry less weight. So davening b'tzibur is something that's very powerful, it's something that's very meaningful. The opportunity to say Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kedusha is something not to be understated, and that's a very big loss for us at this time. At the same time, davening alone in some ways is a good change of pace, and I've had opportunities where I have where I have davened alone both on Shabbos and on weekdays under various circumstances, and I do find that in those few opportunities that I get to daven individually, that there are things that I find that are helpful. The Gemara talks about how when Rabbi Akiva would daven with the tzibur, so they would wait for him, so he would always shorten his tefillah, but when he davened alone, so you would find him in one corner at the beginning of his tefillah, and you would find him in a different corner at the end of his tefillah, and that's because when he was with all the kriyos and yishtachavos, when he was bowing, when he was davening, he had so much kavanah that he was so unaware of everything around him that he just very naturally began to move. He just found himself on the other side of the room. So we learn from Rabbi Akiva that in some ways being able to daven alone can give us a little more kavanah. And I find that also sometimes I feel like I have to make sure that I don't have too long of a Shmona Esrei and I'm paying attention to things around the room. I think for a lot of rabbis, they're finding that the opportunity to daven alone is helping their kavanah. And I think something that's beautiful about davening alone is that it's not a spectacle and it's not us looking around at each other which in some ways, again, can be positive, but there's also something, there's something very positive about it, just being us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a conversation. Tefillah ani ki yatov, b'ifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. The tefillah of the downtrodden when they're enveloped before Hashem, he pours out his conversation. And it's interesting that this verse is in the singular, before Hashem, he pour, or could be she, pours out his conversation. But tefillah in this way could be a dialogue between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very personal and intimate way. When we're in public, we obviously, when we speak about, there are a lot of things we might be willing to speak about publicly, but when we're in a private setting, when it's off the record, when it's close to the press, so we're able to do it in a much more intimate way. And I think that's something that I find to be very valuable and very inspiring for me when I'm able to daven. I feel like I'm able to, I feel like I'm able just to go at my own pace. Sometimes go faster than, you know, we would in the Sibur. You know, I find that I've found that the past few Shabbos I've had more time to learn Torah because we haven't been in Shul, but also the opportunity to slow down and just go at our own pace and not having to, sometimes I feel like I rush to keep up with the Shliach Tzibur. So there is that opportunity that I find there. So some general guidelines and regarding davening alone. So when it comes to the time, these are going to be general, and then I'll get more specific into Shabbos and Pesach. When it comes to the time, so we've mentioned in some of the communication that's gone out from the shul that there is an idea that that if a person's not able to daven with the tzibur, so they should daven at the same time as the tzibur. So that itself, of course, is not called tefillah b'tzibur, but in some ways you're able to join with them at that ratzon that they're gathered together. Now, if you have your mind, when you have your mind to you know, with the tzibur at that time, then that's something that can be very valuable. At the same time, there are times where perhaps we wouldn't daven at the same time as the tzibur. If somebody generally davens, let's just say someone were to regularly daven vasikin, and then there's one day that they're not able to, that the Vesikin minions aren't meeting, so they're allowed to daven Vesikin by themselves. And I couldn't find the exact source that says this, but I feel like I recall at some point having learned that that if you daven Vesikin alone, and you do it, so you're doing, you're being Somech Gula L'Tfila, you're joining redemption with the Amida together at the time of sunrise, so that's something that's very praiseworthy even when you're davening alone. So if somebody's up at around the time of sunrise, so it can be a very nice thing to people to daven Vasikin, and it goes both directions. If you wake up a little early, it's a good idea to wait to daven Vasikin. That's actually, I'm told that the original idea behind Vasikin was not to daven really early, but in the winter months, especially perhaps in the north where it got light out later, so to be able to daven Vasikin, to be able to wait to daven at a later point, something that I just had a technical glitch here, is something that can be very valuable. At the same time, there's also, you know, if you are already going to be up at that time, it's not unreasonable to daven Vasikin, to daven a little earlier, so it's good to be able to daven then. Another thing that was called to my attention was that, so in shul, we often do Mincha and Maariv together, especially during the summer months when we're able to get a minyan together to do Mincha and Maariv together. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's a good idea to daven between Mincha Ktana and Plag HaMincha, which is much earlier in the afternoon. I believe right now that would be somewhere between like 4:40 and 5:50. So Aruch HaShulchan says in general the preferable time to daven Mincha is between Mincha Ktana and Plag HaMincha. We wait until Shkia because it's often harder to get a minyan until later. But there is something to be said for the there is something to be said for being able to daven between Mincha Ktana and Plag. And when you're davening alone, the Aruch HaShulchan says that you should try to do that. So again, weighing the value of davening at the same time as the tzibur. So in here, I guess it's important to note that there's not actually a tzibur that's davening together. at that time. So still we're creating the metaphysical idea of all of us davening at the same time, but weighing that versus davening between Minchat Tana and Plag, as Yerach HaShulchan says, it probably depends on people's schedules, and I don't think that there's necessarily a clear-cut definition for how one must do it. Obviously, you're allowed to daven Mincha all afternoon. This is just different sides to what the opportunities might be. At the same token, in Shul we often daven Maariv after Shkia, but it's important to ideally we say Shema after Tzeit HaKochavim, after it gets dark. So at that point, it's good to say Shema as soon as possible. So it's better to really daven Maariv as soon as it gets dark. So on the one hand, it's preferable now to daven Maariv after Shkia, even though we do that in Shul. We only do it that way because otherwise it's hard to maintain the minyan, and this is a long-standing custom. But at the very same token, we should also daven as soon as possible after it gets dark outside. The one exception to this is Shabbos. On Shabbos, one is still allowed to daven early, and you just have to make sure to repeat Shema once the time comes. But on Shabbos, we allow one to, on Friday afternoon, we allow one to daven Maariv early in order to sit down for dinner at a reasonable time. So in general, it's important to make sure to pay attention to the Zmanim. That's one thing that's harder about davening alone than davening with the tzibur, that when you daven with the tzibur, so you know to show up at a particular time. When you daven alone, then you have to, it's up to you to sort either set the reminders or to remember not to daven. And for people who are used to davening with tzibur and then end up davening alone on a particular occasion, so that's very hazardous, because there are definitely times where I'm used to just have davened, and then at some point I realize I haven't davened mincha yet. Or I haven't davened Maariv yet. So it's something that is important to pay attention to at this time. One more thing I would add there. So whether or not you're davening at the same time as the tzibur, so it might be a good idea to daven at the same time every day, just for yourself, to set a certain time that you daven every day, so that way you don't forget. So what do we include and what do we not include when we daven alone? So in general, the rule is we generally include everything that that's in the Seder, except for those that are the exception. So one thing I would say is that sometimes when we daven in a minyan, so we get to shul a little late, and by the time we get a tefillin on and we say Ashrei, they're already up to Ashrei, so it's hard to be able to say everything in Pesukei Dezimra. But once, and this is, for me, this is especially something I find as an opportunity for myself during this time, that since we're not coming in late, unless we have a deadline that we have to be on a call at a certain time or whatnot, but assuming that there's no necessary coming in late or coming in early, so you can dive in at whatever pace you want, you should make sure to include everything in Pesukei Dezimra and really do it well. Of course, the famous exception to what we skip when we're davening alone is that we don't say Dvarim Shebi Kedusha. We don't say things that require a minyan, things that are literally Dvarim Shebi Kedusha, is things that are holy. So things like Baruch Hu and Kedusha, as we see from the word, so the sanctity is found in the group of the minyan. So we omit those things. There has been some discussion about saying a Kaddish over Zoom. Rav Eliezer Melamed, who's generally posting I rely on, and somebody I greatly appreciate for his very reasonable and easy to understand psakim. His books are amazing. So he came out with a psak that at the end of the day, when you say Kaddish, it's not a bracha batala. So you haven't really lost anything by saying Kaddish. So he said that if 10 people are gathered together, 10 men, I should say, are gathered together on Zoom, then you can say Kaddish. This has generally not been accepted by other poskim, especially in America. So that gets into a very interesting discussion, Kaddish Yassam, Kaddish Darabanan. The discussion revolves around what does it mean to be in the same place as somebody, or what does it mean for people to be able to see each other? that's a lot of the discussion, being able to sing, being able to hear each other. So I don't want to get too bogged down in that particular issue, but that's sort of what it comes down to. And so we generally assume that the kash can be sent said that way. I sent out at some point a text from Sefer from the Sefer Chassidim, a text that contains some of the language of Kaddish, but it's not Kaddish itself, that one can say when they're davening alone. And the Sefer Chassidim, it says that one who's not in a minyan and needs to say Kaddish should say that text. So if anybody wants me to resend it, I'd be happy to do it. The idea behind Kaddish is to magnify and to sanctify Hashem's name. So we can still do that, with similar language without necessarily pretending that it's Kaddish. I think it's good to be able to maintain that distinction between Kaddish that we say all together, and I think there's something very meaningful for community coming together, responding Yehi Shmei Rabba, which we can't really do in this context. So I think there's good to maintain that distinction, and also as time goes on, so we want to make sure that when we are able to get back B'tzibor, that we maintain the importance of davening B'tzibor. So even though it's challenging for some people not to be able to say Kaddish, it is ultimately worthwhile not to bend too much on saying Kaddish, other than the text. The important thing to remember about Kaddish and things of the like is that the real idea of Kaddish, first of all, is to give an aluit to the neshama, especially during the first 11 months, that that Hashem should not punish and should protect that particular soul. So the idea really is that we should carry on their legacy in a way that is meaningful. So we can do that by giving tzedakah and by doing masim tovim, by learning Torah. So there's all these different ways that we can preserve the legacy of the person who's deceased. So even though Kaddish has become a widespread minhag, it's not the only way that it can be done. Another thing that's omitted, as I said, is Kedusha. But even there, we have a little bit of a fix, because we do mention Kedusha two other times in Shacharis, both in the brachot between the brachot of Kriyat Shema and during Kedusha de Sidra that we say after Shemona Esrei before Aleinu. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes into the discussion. The Rambam famously held that you shouldn't say the Kedusha in Birkot Kriyat Shema individually, that you should skip from after Kel Baruch Gadol Deah, until Le'okel Baruch Nimod Yitenu, you shouldn't say Kedusha that way. But we assume that when we're saying when we're reciting those verses, we're sitting down. Okay, so we're not actually saying we're not actually performing Kedusha, but we're talking about what the angels do. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan explains, that we're talking about what the angels did. But nonetheless, I like saying this a lot, when we have a particular mitzvah that we can't perform, so learning about it can in some ways take the place of doing it, if not quite on the same level, but it is some sort of consolation. Shama parim svatenu, that instead of offering bulls, we have our lips. So when we recite things related to korbanos, it's as if we're performing the korbanos. When we learn about korbanos, then it has that status also. So when we talk about the angels doing kedusha, we're able to still sort of preserve that aspect of sanctifying Hashem, even if we're not able to perform it in that general sense. When it comes to Valatzia, when we say Kedusha in there, in the Kedusha de Sidra, so the Aruch HaShulchan elsewhere explains that at that point we're learning about Kedusha. That's why it has the Aramaic afterwards, is because they wanted people to, especially when Aramaic was a spoken language, to be able to understand those psukim in the way it was translated into Aramaic. So at that point, it's Limud Torah, it's learning the verses of Kedusha. Same idea there, that can be a very powerful thing. So that was a bit of a discussion, but one thing we do not do when we're davening alone is we don't say Darim Shebikdusha. For a while, the Rabbanim in the Five Towns, I think endorsed by Rav Hershel Schechter, were suggesting that we say Avinu Malkeinu, especially in order to, because of the line Menamagefa Menachatenu, to prevent disease in our midst. So I was saying Avinu Malkeinu for the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I urged everyone in the shul to do so in that respect. Rav Schachter said that one should not say Avinu Malkeinu during Nisan, because Nisan is a month of Geula, it's a month of joy. Right now we're in the time where we commemorate how the Nesiim dedicated the Mishkan, and then a good chunk of the rest of Nisan is obviously Pesach, so we don't say Tachnu, and we therefore also don't say Avinu Malkeinu. And again, that's, I think, as we're starting Chodesh Nisan, I think that's something to keep in mind, that this is a time to daven for our redemption from this particular situation. But there's also that balance, as Rav Schachter keeps emphasizing, that this is a Chodesh Shel Simcha, that on the one hand, there might be things that are trying during this time, but also to be able to preserve the normal rhythm of life through Pesach and through our daily activities is something that's also praiseworthy. So we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. We're also not saying Tachnun during this time, but if we were saying Tachnun, then there are people who would do Nefilas Apayim by putting their head on their forearm. There are people who do that individually, but my understanding is to not do that when there's no Sefer Torah. So if we are, God forbid, still in this situation after Chodesh Nisan, so when we say Tachnun, I would recommend not doing Nefilas Apayim. Now I just want to get into a little bit of some basic things related to Shabbos. So after the Amidah, we say Vayechulu, and then we have the Bracha Achas Mein Sheva, Magen Avos, and Retzei Menuchasenu that the Chazan says. So from that Baruch Atah Hashem onwards, including Magen Avos, we don't say in a minion that's not kavua, so if it's a minion that's just a pop up minion, under a particular circumstance, you don't say in that circumstance. So all the more so when we're davening alone, we don't say magen avos or any part of that, but we do say vayechulu, and with vayechulu there is a preference to say it with two people as a form of edus, as a form. Form of testifying that Hashem created the world, but you can still say Vayechulu by yourself after Shmoneh Esrei. And I think earlier this year I talked about the idea of saying Vayechulu three times on Friday night, so we're still able to preserve that. Comes to Shabbos morning, so we obviously don't do Kriyas HaTorah. It's definitely a good idea to learn the Parsha at some point during the week. Susan, I see your hand. I'll come back in a second. It's a good idea to go through the Parsha. Ideally, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, two times in Hebrew, one time either in Aramaic or with Rashi or with an English translation that preserves Rashi, such as the Arts Chumash. But even if you're not doing Shnai Mikra, it's a good idea to learn the Parsha, not because there's anything, not that because it's fulfilling Kriyas HaTorah, but it's just good to learn the Parsha. I think Kriyas HaTorah is a good form of learning Torah as a community. So we can't do it as a community, but we should still learn the Parsha on our own, and some people recommend reading the Haftarah as well. Again, it doesn't hurt to be able to. We don't have, how often do we really spend learning these sections of Tanakh otherwise, so it's a good idea to do it. Susan, do you have a question?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a question about the Magen Avot and the Makom Kavua.
Sure.
I know that the halacha is you're not supposed to say Magen Avot if you're not Makom Kavu. I know when we go to the Shabbatons of the Shavuot, actually some organizations do say it if you're in a hotel, some organizations do not say Magen Avot.
Yeah.
But I always daven Friday night at home. So my house is my Makom Kavu. And I've always said Magen Avot because that's my Makom Kavu of Tefillah. Is that something, and I happen to like, I think it was a beautiful paragraph. So is that something I should not be doing? Because that is my Makom Kavu for Tefillah.
Right, so it seems like, I think the idea there was that it was a sort of mini Chazar Sashatz.
I guess if you say I don't see the paragraph of Baruch Hashem, obviously.
Right, so that's interesting. I never thought about that. So you know, I'll get back to you, because it's an interesting, if you say without the Baruch Hashem. So here's the point. It is a nice paragraph. So my impression is that we don't say without a minion, but it could be maybe that paragraph. I'll have to get back to you. Okay, so Kriyas HaTorah, Haftarah, we skipped the Kumporkans and the Mishaberach. Those are meant for the community, so we're not in the community. We don't say those. Avarachamim we would normally say, except now, again, it's Chodesh Nisan, so we're not going to be saying Avarachamim for the next month. When it comes to Shabbos Mincha, so even though we don't read Torah, my understanding is that we say Vanit Filati, we say that Pasuk that we say before Kriyas HaTorah. So that's, first of all, said in the singular, the language of the psalm is in the singular, Vanit Filati, my prayer. And we do say that even when we're davening alone. So it's not something that's that we often associate with Kriyas HaTorah. We might forget to even look on that page, but that's something I think that's good to say even when we're davening on your own. Yes, Susan.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned that we don't say Yom Kippur Kan when you're davening alone, but my Siddurim always say that you say the first
paragraph, right?
And you don't say the other two.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's probably fine. And all the tzakim I'm seeing are saying not to say in your Kippur Kan, but I understand that the Siddurim it says to say the first one, and I think that makes sense. I think the first one is less communally focused than the second one, so I think that makes sense.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So when it comes to davening Maariv on Motei Shabbos, so daven really Maariv, again, Maariv can be davened fairly early, but davening Maariv is in saying Atachon Antanu allows us to do Malacha. So I think it's generally, so in shuls they often, some shuls, you know, might daven 10 minutes early, but even those shuls that do, I don't know if one should be davening Maariv all too early because at least when you're in shul, so you're not getting out all that quickly, so it doesn't really make a difference. But you definitely don't want to say Atachon Antanu before you're going to end up being able to perform Malacha. So I think it's a good idea to wait till Maariv is over. I think it's a good idea to wait till Shabbos is over to daven Maariv. And so in that case, daven Maariv when Shabbos ends or a little later, if you like. And then you have just to be careful to daven Maariv or to say Baruch Hamado Ben Kodesh Lecho before you perform any melacha. So even if we're not so meticulous to say Maariv on any other night when we're davening alone on Motzei Shabbos, that becomes obviously a little more important. Are there any more questions up until now? And then I'll go into Pesach. So just when it comes to Pesach, so I started looking into some of these things today, and if I find out more things, then I'll share them. So again, I think there's a nice idea to be able to read through the Parsha and the Haftarah, not because it has any fulfillment of Kriyas HaTorah, but just to be able to learn the passages in the Torah that are associated with Pesach, to learn the parts of Nevi'im that are associated with Pesach. It's a good way to learn Torah during that time. So that's something that I think can be recommended. There's a different Torah, unlike Sukkot, there's different Torah readings for Pesach every day. So it could be a nice idea to learn those. There are piyutim that we say on Pesach and Shul that we don't say when we're alone. So Kalkeli that we say before Ashrei, you do not say, Rav Schechter said today, don't say Bichidus. The big question, of course, comes Tal, because on the first day of Pesach, we're supposed to switch from Ashiva Ruch Umarina Geshem to Tal. So Rav Schechter said they shouldn't say the piyutim of Tal that are found in the Siddur because those are meant to be public prayers. One thing he did recommend, he did say that everyone, whenever you daven Musaf, should switch over. You stop saying Mashiach Baruch Merit Hageshem at Musaf. And his opinion was that even if you don't say Merit HaTal throughout the summer, for the very first Shemona Esrei, you should still say Merit HaTal, so you sort of mark that you're switching over, and as a reminder, to switch over. So it's a good idea to say Merit HaTal on the first day of Pesach, but again, without all the poetry for Tal. And the last halachic point when it came to Pesach, I addressed this on Tuesday night, but I'll mention it again, is that when it comes to Yisker, so you can say all the parts of Yisker by yourself. There's nothing there that's ever Shibik Dusha. I'll emphasize the idea behind Yisker again is really to motivate us to give tzedakah, to preserve the positive legacy of those of our loved ones. Suggestion came up today during this RCA phone call to maybe do Yisker on Zoom over Chol HaMoed. So if people are interested in that, I'd be happy to arrange it. It could be a meaningful way to do it together, especially the communal ones. So we can see if we want to do that. So that's when it comes to Yisker. So last thing I'll mention that I was thinking about before is that again, I think in terms of using this time well when we're davening alone, So I mentioned that we might have the ability to slow down in saying the words, but I think there's also the opportunity not just to slow down in saying the words, but slowing down and thinking about the tefillos, looking maybe a little more at the translations, if there are words that I even find at some point, even though my Hebrew is pretty good, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I've been saying this all this time, and I really don't fully understand what this word or this phrase means. So good time to take the time to look at the translations. If you daven from a seder with a commentary, matov manayim, if you stop in the middle of your tefillah, you just look quickly at a commentary to give extra meaning to what the tefillos are about. Those are the things that we can't necessarily do when we are betzibor, but when we're davening at our own pace, maybe we have the time to not just daven alone, but also to study tefillah alone. Are there any final questions? Let me unmute everybody. Is everyone still muted? Did anybody want to add anything? Ask anything?
I didn't either.
Okay, well, I hope everyone has a good Shabbos and a good Onik Shabbos. Even though we're not able to be together, we'll certainly miss each other, but we'll be thinking about each other, shadavin for each other, and I hope everybody is doing well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Tova, and Shomer Shadavin Aliyah. Nice to see you.
Good seeing you, Susan.
Thank you.
Go back a long way.
Very long way. Baruch Hashem. Very long way. It's really so nice to see you.